Hi.
Howdy.
So, like I said, I love being here. I love being with you guys. I love being in the house of God. I love His presence. It's funny how God works, eh? What He shares with one person, He may not share with another, or what He shares with you, He may reveal differently to me. And I'll be honest, as Mike was sharing last week, I was blown away at how much it tied into what God was speaking to me. Some of it overlapped so tightly that I thought I was going to have to go to the drawing board and redo everything. But as I was praying, I knew that this is the same vein that God wanted me to go on, and it tie into the series. So I'm super, super excited about what God is doing, where He's calling us to, and the stirring up of His bride. My prayer is that He would continue to do so, that He would rise up in all of us, that He would reveal Himself to us corporately and individually as we pursue Him wholeheartedly. A.W. Tozer said this: if we cooperate with Him in loving obedience, God will manifest Himself to us. And that manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of His face. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to live a nominal Christian life. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to be in the presence of my King continually. I want to live as He wants me to live. So this morning I want to talk about allowing Jesus to change. Not just to change, but to take over more and more of our hearts. Sounds like a huge undertaking, doesn't it? I assure you, it's totally possible, and not only that, but it's something that God desires for all of us. For those of you that like sermon titles, I know Shar does, I've entitled this one, Pursuing God, staying in the series, Tearing Off the Shackles That Bind. And I'm already parched. Yay. Yeah. Okay, if you can turn in your Bibles with me to John 14:15. If you don't have a Bible, you can put it on your smartphone. Hello. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Mark 12:30-31. This is a very familiar passage. We should all know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. And Jeremiah 29:13 was already quoted this morning. Or no, that's not the right one, sorry. But I'm going to do it anyway. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. So, question. How often do we read scriptures like this and think, how is that even possible? How can I do that? How can I love God with everything I am, with all my strength, with all my might? I can't even wrap my mind around it sometimes. Especially when we read scriptures like, your hearts are deceitful above all things. They are desperately wicked. I'm blown away. How am I supposed to love God with everything I am if my heart is wicked? Or in Romans 3 where it says, there is none righteous, not even one. I wrestle with that sometimes, right? How can we love God with all of our hearts if that's what the Bible says about us? If there's none righteous, not even one, how? How can we do that? I want to tell you guys that it's in our sin that that's who we are. In our sin, like we learned last week, we're separated from God. But there's good news, and the good news is this. It's not by my works. It's not by my might. It's Him. There's nothing I can do to earn His favor. Nothing. Okay, wait. Didn't I say there was good news? Because that just still doesn't sound very good, right? I mean, it does, because we know that it's Him that does it. But if we're honest, I like to be in control. I always drive. I'm always the first one through the door. I always like to be in control. I've the remote, that's right. And if I don't, I've got an app on my phone. There has to be something in my power that I can do. But the Bible is clear. Like I already said, it's not by my power. It's not by my might. It's by His Spirit. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned." Great. "All fall short of the glory of God." Okay. But here's the key. All are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. He gives it to us. There's nothing we have to do. He gives us that gift. All we have to do is have faith and believe, and that He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion, because it's only in Christ. And we learned about that last week, so I'm not going to go there hardcore. But it's only in Christ that we're free. It's in Christ that we're being made righteous. It's in Christ that we're justified. It's His love that's being poured into our hearts, and it makes it possible to love Him with everything we are. If you want to know where that is, that's Romans 5. Read it. It's His love that makes it possible. In Christ, we are a new creation. And we have been reconciled. And we've exchanged, as we learned last week, one condition, our sinfulness, for another, righteousness in Him. The Bible says we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. The redemption is the finished work of Jesus. When we receive Him as Lord and Savior, He delivers us from the bondages of sin. We are no longer slaves to our sin. We are alive in God, free from our sins. How awesome is that? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I do want to touch on one of the scriptures Mike did last week. It's 2 Corinthians 5:18, for those taking notes. And the only reason I want to do this is because I was studying it as well. Like Mike said, he spent a lot of time studying it, and I spent a good amount of time in that verse. And what I love about it, and I'm only going to say this, is in that verse is both a noun and a verb. And Matt's going to be impressed because I'm not an English guy. I don't do the English language well. But it identifies our current state, having been reconciled, and then it invites us to live a life where we accept the provisions God has made, where our sins are remitted, blotted out by His blood, where we are justified in His sight. How awesome is that? That's who we are. That's how He sees us. We're already being made righteous through faith in Christ. That's the ministry of reconciliation. This is extremely important for us to see, you guys. This is what God thinks about you right now, not in the future. He sees that for you right now. He wants you to walk in an abundant and full life in Him. This is the truth for your life right now. His word says we will do even greater things than these. And it's because Jesus has gone to the Father on our behalf. He wants to change our deepest self. He wants us to see that that's who we are. In Christ. In Christ is who we are. One of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite Greek words is entheos. It means to be infused with God, or to be filled with God. And this is something I pray constantly. God, fill me with You. Empty me of who I am. Let me walk in the freedom You have for me. Let me walk in an abundant, full life that You are calling me to. Change the inner parts of who I am, that I might walk with You. Let Your truth about me rule and reign my thoughts. I want to know You. I need to know You. Let who You are permeate everything about me. Let it be infused, or let me be infused with who You are. I need to hear You clearly, Father. I want to know You desperately. I need to know You. I need You. I don't want yesterday's encounters to be enough. I need more, Father. Every day I need more. And this is the prayer that I have for me and for our body. You see, if we can't grasp this, if we don't see that this is the life that our Father is calling us to, one of fullness in Him, one of intimacy, then we're just robbing ourselves and making it difficult. That's the truth. How many times do we think, I'm not worthy? Why do I shy away from what he's calling me to? Why? Is it my guilt? Is it my sin? Do we think that they somehow hold us back? They separate us from God? This can't be further from the truth. That's not who we are. It's like Keith shared a couple weeks ago. We come to the Father desperate, broken, and ready to atone for our sins, to beg for our forgiveness. And while we were still afar off, Father runs towards us. He embraces us, kisses us. He gives us the best robe, a ring, sandals for our feet. He didn't wait for any explanation. We barely get repentance out of the way. And what does he do? He throws us a celebration. We've returned to our first love. That's where we're supposed to be, in Christ. He excitedly says to us, "My son, my daughter," tears streaming down his face. He just wants us to see that we're supposed to be in him. The truth is, there's no separation from the Father. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, "For I am sure, nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. I can't separate me from what God calls me to. That's who I am. I'm in Christ. That's who you are. We are in Christ. We have to remember this. We have to apply this to our lives. Once we see that we are in him, that's it. Once we ask him into our hearts, the Bible says we are one with him just as he is one with the Father. There is no separation. It's always us that runs from him. The whole time he's waiting. He waits to see if we're going to remember, "I'm in you. You can't get away from me." Why do we think we can separate ourselves from Christ in us? Why? Why do we shy away in our sin as if it causes a rift between us and God? Okay, I'm going to have some fun. I need Mike. Since he used me for an illustration, I'm going to use him, and I need Tim. Even though he's taking notes, and you can just take notes later. Okay, so Mike is man, I'll be God, and Tim is man. So this is how God sees us, right? I am in man. If I'm God, I'm Christ, I'm in Tim. He is in me. We are one together, okay? And this is how God sees us. We are one together. And I need a couple more volunteers. Chris, Mark, Matt. So we don't see ourselves like this, do we? We don't. As much as we should, we don't. How we see ourselves is dirty, rotten sinners. So, Chris, if you could please be a shackle. Mark?
Matt should do it. No, Matt's going to do a different one.
Spin the wheel so we know where we're
going. Yeah. And Matt, go ahead. This is how we see ourselves right here. These guys are the bondages of sin. This is the truth, you guys. We need to see this. This is the bondages of sin. Mike is not free to move. If we bound ourselves with our sin, then we can't move. But this is how God sees us. Tim is free to do whatever he wants. He can worship. He can pray. Mike, go ahead and try and raise your hands to worship. See, that's it right there, though. He's limited by what's going on. We shackle ourselves. Ask yourself, what am I doing? Is it my pride? Is it my guilt? Is it my shame? When all he wants us to do and all he wants us to see is that we are in him. We are free.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities." Right? Yeah. "I will remember their sins no more." Go sit down. So now, Mike, you can worship, right? You can
Put your hands up. Woo!
So that's how God sees us. Even though we want to bind ourselves, even though his hands are free, he's going to think, "Oh no, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner." And he takes them back down. But that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to pick those chains up. He wants us to be free. Why are they attached to me? Why do I put them back on? When God forgives, He forgets. That's why I told Matt to sit down. Because when God forgives, He forgets. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Why are these guys still here? Because He's still shackling Himself. We still have a hard time believing it. We put them back on. You guys, our sins, all of them are covered by the blood. How do we see them if they're covered by the blood? This is how we're supposed to see ourselves in Christ. Right? There's no shackles on Tim, none. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thanks. Yeah. I just thought I'd have fun with that, right? So the Bible says in Psalms 3, 5, and 6, or 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Psalm 63, 8 says, your right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me. We're not going to fall. How? How do you fall if His right hand upholds you? Doesn't even make sense. Why am I afraid of falling if he's holding me? It doesn't make sense. It's not about our understanding. It's about relationship with Him. It's about what He reveals to us. But if we ask, He's going to give it. Right? If we have to, like Israel, He'll let us wander the desert for 40 years. That wasn't what He wanted, but He let them because they were afraid. He's going to provide, but He's going to let us wander, waiting for us to enter into His promises, waiting for us to realize where our identity is. You guys, the plans and purposes He has for you are unimaginable. All we have to do is trust. All we have to do is believe. We have to have faith in Christ to change our hearts. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. This is the one that was quoted earlier, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. They are to prosper you. They are for your good. They are to give you a future and a hope. Paul recognized that it was only in Christ that he was complete. He recognized that in Christ is where his strength came from. Philippians 3 says, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. That I may know Him by any means necessary. I want this for my life. I want this for your lives. Are we ready for Christ to change us? John 3:30 says, He must increase and I must decrease. Are we stunned by the love of God? Are we overwhelmed by the person of Jesus dying on our behalf and rising again? When we understand this, when the Spirit reveals this to us fully, and it grips us, then you will taste what it is to treasure Jesus and delight in Jesus and be satisfied in Jesus. You'll begin to walk in the freedom He's called you to. No more chains, no more shackles. I just want to give a little disclaimer. I want to be really clear, this isn't about do's and don'ts. We are under His grace. He's the one that's going to reveal this to us. Please don't hear this as a license to continue in your sin, but see it for what it is. If you love me, you will keep my commands. That's the preface right there. If you love me, everything else comes because we love Him. It's not complicated. It's not. It's a call to pursuing Father. It's a call of a place of deep intimacy with Him. I just want to show you that it's there. It's available. It's not something we need to wait for. He wants us to let go. When he forgives us, he doesn't do it with conditions. He forgives and he forgets. We need to stop shackling ourselves. Stop picking them back up and putting them on. That's not who you are. You are in Christ. You are free in him. Let's allow him to break the chains we keep picking up. Leave them on the floor and trample them under your feet. They're not yours. Stop picking them up. What God wants is for us to pursue relationship with him. To pursue holiness. To run towards him. To trust him. He wants us to see ourselves and each other as he does. In Christ. We are the ones that shackle. He is the one that frees. God is in the business of changing hearts. The next move is yours. Will you ask him to change your heart? Will you invite him in to reveal himself? Will you remove the shackles that you put on yourself so you can run into your Father's loving arms? Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Let's adjust our lives to his voice, his calling, and a life of pursuing him.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.